Hello, and welcome to another commuter audio presentation by Dennis Wing. Today's topic is on having fun with a metronome. This is a huge topic, and some of you are going to think that this presentation is the best thing since sliced bread. And if you implement some of the ideas that I present in this presentation, your playing will grow guaranteed by leaps and bounds in a very short period of time, maybe weeks or months. You know, having said that, now that's a pretty tall claim, and I would even go so far as to make the opposite claim. I suspect there will be some of you who aren't really interested in this, or you're not willing to try to play with a metronome or any of the ideas presented here, and you won't implement them or even try them. You'll be closed-minded, or you'll think it's too frustrating to try it. Let me just put it like this. The amount of enjoyment that you will get from playing the guitar for the rest of your life will be significantly less than it could be. And you will have to spend years and years developing the kind of rhythmic foundation that a metronome can give you, and you may never get there. You could spend years trying to do it what someone else could do within a few weeks or even months. That's a pretty tall claim, and the reason I stand by that so strongly is because, you know, rhythm is everything. If you take the three most basic elements of music, rhythm, melody, and harmony, there are seven elements total. But the three most basic is rhythm, melody, and harmony. Rhythm is automatically included in melody and harmony because music is a time art. You know, you can't just have a whole song in one moment, right? So, you know, even if the rhythm is free form, that's still a rhythm, you know. And developing your rhythmic strength is just essential to becoming a musician that people will want to listen to and that you yourself will you know, take pride in and want to develop further. You know, I've run many a jam session over the years, and I've seen a lot of musicians come through whose ideas are valid, they're musical, they're logical in terms of the structure of the song, they get a good tone out of their instrument, but they may not be that solid rhythmically. And a lot of players, actually the jam session sometimes attracts those type of players because they're looking for a rhythm section to get support from. So I don't want to digress too much on this, but you know, those players, they may get a thrill from playing with a rhythm section, but really, if they don't have a solid rhythmic foundation, there's only so much that an audience will want to hear from that particular person. And nowadays, there's so much information, there's so much instant access to YouTube videos and books and DVDs and, you know, all kinds of presentations that you can get online. And there's so many devices, machines. That, you know, we have GarageBand, we have Band in a Box, we have the Loop Station for guitar. We have the Trio. The Trio is a device that where you play like a chord progression and it automatically creates bass and drums on the fly. You know, we have so much stuff, and every time I hear a student say, well, you know, I don't really need the metronome because I have Band in a Box or I have a Loop Station or whatever. You know, I hate to sound like an old timer, you know, but it reminds me of in one of Joe Pass's videos. You know, he was a great guitarist, and he probably, I don't know when he was born, probably in the 40s. So he was probably learning maybe in the 50s. They didn't have any of this stuff. He said, how did we learn? We just, you know, took a record and moved the needle back and figured out what was happening and moved it back and moved it back and moved it back, you know, and wore out the record, you know. But he learned that song the hard way. So, you know, I hate to sound like, you know, I'm from the school of hard knocks or something, but, you know, my little metronome that cost $30 and my little tape recorder that at that time cost $20 were by far the best tools I ever had, and I'm glad that I learned when there wasn't all this fancy stuff, because I might not have learned to build my own rhythmic foundation as strongly. And also with regards to the tape recorder, I'm referring to like recording myself playing a chord progression, you know, not just one time and then looping it like they have nowadays, but recording it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Well, first of all, by the end of that 10 minutes, I memorized the chord progression to that song. And number two, I then was able to solo on it, you know, which gave me, you know, a good live rhythm track to play to. But then there's something further, which is I got to hear what my rhythm playing, how serviceable it was, what things did I do made it nice to solo over, and what things did I do that made it not so nice to solo over. So I got to hear my own comping. Comping is the word for to accompany from the point of view of a soloist. You know, so there's so many advantages to doing it the long way. Today, we're not going to talk about the tape recorder so much, but I want to just, while we're on the subject, I want to just say the other advantage of having a tape recorder, or nowadays, you know, you record on your phone, or, you know, I still use my dictaphone all the time, is I'll record myself performing. And I'll never share it with anybody else if other musicians are on it and I haven't gotten their permission. It's only for my listening, and I won't listen right away. I'll listen like at least 3 weeks later. You know, when I've kind of forgotten about the gig, and I'll listen to everything. What do I like? What do I not like? I've done this for years. So those of you who have a dictaphone, I mean, the phone, to record on your phone is okay, but you're not going to bring your phone to a gig and leave it on some shelf or something, you know, for 3 hours. Your phone's going to die. You know, whereas a dictaphone, the thing I'm using right now, is it only costs like $40 at Radio Shack. And it can record for hours and hours and hours. And by the way, if you do leave your dictaphone at a gig, you know, put it where no one else is going to see it so it doesn't get stolen, number one. And number two, here's a little tip. Put your car keys next to it so you can't walk out of there forgetting your dictaphone, okay? but I did not come to talk about the tape recorder today. I came to talk about the metronome. Now, the reason this is an audio CD, a commuter audio CD, rather than like a lesson audio CD where you're expected to listen with your guitar, is because the examples are just general examples. They're not anything that, like, all of you guys are of different levels. This CD is meant for, you know, advanced musicians to beginners. And so the examples that I'm going to choose are simply to illustrate points about how to use the metronome and how to get the most out of it and how to build your rhythmic foundation, not, you know, specific examples of what you should go home and practice. It's just concepts that you can take with you to try on whatever you might be working on the guitar. Does that make sense? You know, there's an old saying from Duke Ellington, if it ain't got that, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. You know, what it means is, you know, if you can't swing on your own, you can't swing with a band. Now, when I say swing, of course, I don't mean jazz. I don't mean necessarily swing music. You know, I mean any kind of music. You could be playing heavy metal and this holds true. If you can't be rhythmically coherent in and of yourself, then even with a band, you're going to be, it'll make things easier. You know, the band can help direct you and guide you and like that, but generally it won't be nearly as much. The one of the best workshops I ever went to, a jazz workshop, I was in my 20s, and we were all trying to solo, and the teacher was discussing different, you know, concepts and everything. But at one point he just said, all right, stop everything, everyone just stop playing. Now listen, guys, if you can't swing on your own, you're not gonna be able to swing with a band. So he had us go around and play the entire song, improvise to the entire song, I don't remember what song it was, on our own for an entire chorus. So let's say the song is, you know, 32 bars long. We had to play 32 bars of a solo without any accompaniment. And I still do that, and I still make my students do that, because if they're relying on band in a box or live bass and drummer, et cetera, it's not the same. So what the metronome is, yes, it's a tool, Yes, it's a tool like, you know, Jam Tracks. Okay, Jam Tracks are all over the internet now. Or, you know, you can buy those Let's Jam CDs or whatever, you know. So, yes, the metronome is a tool, but it's also, it's not a crutch. It's not a crutch the way jamming to Jam Tracks is, you know, meaning you still have to put the work into it. And it's not easy. I'm telling you right now, playing with a metronome or learning to play with it can be very frustrating at times. But once you get used to it, it is ridiculously rewarding. And that's the reason why I'm creating this CD today. If this one thing happens, then the purpose of this presentation will have served, and that thing is to give you an insight or an appreciation for how much fun you can have with a metronome and build your rhythmic foundation exponentially in a short period of time if you're willing to put in a little bit of work with the metronome. All right, if you get that one thing out of it, this whole thing is worth it. The rest of it is just me giving you examples and ideas of how to use the metronome and how it could work for you. You know, so that's how valuable I think this metronome really is. I mean, think about it. There's only 12 notes in our Western world, but there are thousands of rhythms. You know, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You can put on the radio, any song you hear, any style of music, if it's Western music, you know, only 12 notes. Wow. Any song, really? Yep, only 12 notes. But, you know, there's millions and thousands and millions of rhythms. And I've said this so many times in lessons. The brain can learn 12 notes. That's no problem. You know, anyone can learn that. But the brain cannot learn millions of rhythms. You know, kids all over the world can be playing rhythms, very complicated rhythms, and not know how to write them down or anything like that. But they feel those rhythms, and that's the key. The word is feel. So what the metronome does, it helps you to feel the rhythms. It's not a crutch like a jam track where you can kind of, right? So I've said this already, but the key to working with a metronome is to get you to feel the rhythms you're playing. So music is a time art, and rhythms are felt. So the whole key to building your rhythmic strength is to feel those rhythms within time. Now I'm kind of start repeating myself. I'm just preparing you for what's to come. I hope you're going to have fun with getting some ideas of how to use the metronome. And we'll see you with great rhythmic authenticity and with great rhythmic foundation that you build through the use of these ideas. Just one last thing. I also want to say that because this CD is meant for a lot of different levels, be prepared, beginners, to not be able to do a lot of the things that I demonstrate, and be prepared for a lot of these things to be over your head. And that's just the nature of this. You have this CD the rest of your life, so you can always go back and listen to it. On the other hand, more advanced players, be prepared to be bored in certain areas of this presentation, but please listen to the whole thing, because you never know when an idea is going to crop up that you haven't thought of. And if you're an advanced player, you already know probably how powerful the metronome is, and I guarantee there'll be ideas that you haven't thought of about ways to use the metronome. So thanks, have fun.